Well, how many of you had a joy-filled week? A joy-filled week. Did you have a wonderful week? Yeah. Good for you. My Friday is my day off. And usually I go for riding, cycling. I like to cycle on the coast. And Friday was like, you know, hurricane force everything on this one. So I decided to just work on my bike. And I don't know, it was one of those days where just nothing went right. You know, it just nothing went right. If you drop a parts kept falling off and flying off here. And I ended up messing up something. So I went to the bike shop and they fixed it really quick and I came back home. And as I'm working more and more, all of a sudden I had the cell phone up on the dryer, and all of a sudden the phone went off, but it was a different ringtone. And it kept ringing, and I realized, that's not my phone. I had picked up the phone, and I thought, who does, you know, it was one of those just frustrating days anyway, and I've got somebody else's phone. I have no idea who it is, and so I'm thinking, I'm just going to take it back to the bike shop. Well, it keeps ringing, so finally I picked up, and I said, I know I got the phone by mistake, I'm taking it right back, I'll be there in 2 minutes, you know. You know, on top of a not riding day, a broken bike day, I picked up the cell phone having to run to the bike shop day, and I started thinking, and on Sunday I got to talk about joy, you know, I got to talk about joy in all this one. How do you deal with joy when you're going through a hard time? I mean, we've been talking about that. We want to talk about how do you live in this broken world in joy. And God wants us to. Joy is one of those things that he produces from the inside. As we get into that, we'll talk a little bit about more. There's a difference between happy and joyful. We mentioned that last week. There's happy and there's joyful. Happy comes from, and we would say if we want to generalize, happy comes from outside stuff. Things that are happening to me. The circumstances around. For instance, you go to McDonald's, you get a what? A happy meal. There you go. And we like happy. I mean, happy, there's nothing wrong with happy. You know, happy birthday, you know, happy Thanksgiving, Feliz Navidad, you know, merry or happy Christmas, happy New Year. It's happy. And even though I told you last week I have resting grumpy face, you know, that's kind of what I have. It's just the curse I have. I'm usually a pretty happy guy, usually, except on Friday I wasn't happy at all. But usually I'm pretty happy. But joy is different. Joy is a whole lot different. Joy doesn't come from without. It comes from where? It comes from the inside. It comes from within. It's kind of like a nuclear reactor of good on the inside. It just keeps producing more and more joy, particularly when you have God and Christ working within you. And so this one's a mouthful, but it's a definition that we want to work with. And you don't have to memorize it, but it just kind of grabs the concept. It's a deep-seated contentment, peace, and hope that come from experiencing and dwelling in God's presence and resting in his bigger plan and purpose. So I could know on Friday, you know, when things are going loose and going nutty and crazy and someone else's cell phone is ringing in my garage, I know that there is God's bigger presence is involved in this, that there's something happening here that I can't see, and I'm really glad that God's in charge of this, and that even though my quote, Fridays fall apart, God's there. Today we want to talk about, and we're going to shift gears a little bit, we're going to talk about joy in giving. The joy in giving. And some of you are thinking, oh great, I finally go to church and they're talking about money and giving. And yeah, we do that, but honestly I wouldn't be a good pastor if I didn't help us all and work through the whole concept of this giving thing, because it gets real dicey around a church. It does get a little bit tense sometimes when you think about that. But hey, it's a giving time of year. And we want to talk about this whole concept thing called giving. And I believe, honestly, this. You were made to give. Yes. Now, I'm not talking only about church, okay? In fact, we're primarily not going to be talking about that towards the end. And I will be addressing that. But you were created to give. God is a giving God. That's what God does. And we were created in his image. And as a result of that, I really think you were designed to give. Before we get any farther, let's just take a second and pray and ask God to honor this time. And God, in these moments, search our hearts and press upon us the things that you want us to live out. And give me the right words in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you and I were designed or made actually to give, then you would think that there would be, I don't know, something in the Bible that would say how joyful it is to give. And obviously, there is. Jesus said this, it's more blessed to what?
Give.
To give than to receive. And you're thinking, I knew you were going to say that. And guess what? I knew you knew I was going to say that, okay? Because that's there. I mean, it's a very prominent verse. Jesus said, it's much more blessed. You are much more joyful. You have a deep sense of joy when you give, more than when you receive. Now, let's carry it a bit farther, and that what that means is God wants me to be joyful when I give. God wants me to have joy when I give out. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. Okay, there it is. God loves that when we give cheerfully. And the cheerful part means joy-filled, and God wants us to be joy-filled. Not Scrooge, not Grinchy, not that kind of stuff, but he wants to be joy-filled. Now, the next thing, and this takes it a little bit farther, God is going to ask me to be ridiculous in my giving. Okay, ridiculous in my giving. The Bible says stuff for giving. It says, blessed are those who are generous. I'd expect that. I mean, of course, it's going to say that. As part of my connection time with God, it helps me every day to read parts of the Bible. I'm reading in the Old Testament, and I was in all those laws in Deuteronomy. You know, they're all there, all those big laws in Deuteronomy. And it was God setting Israel as a nation 3,500 years ago, and he's given them kind of the rules of how to live on this one. And he says this, when you're harvesting your crops and forget to bring in a bundle of grain from your field, don't go back and get it. Don't do that. And I want to say, why not? It's mine. It's my bundle of grain. I mean, I forgot. I'm going to go back and get it. And I think it's kind of like he could have said, if you're at Safeway and you forget a bag of groceries on the counter, don't go back and get it. It's like, well, why not? That's like not fair. He says, leave it for the foreigners and the orphans and the widows. And you kind of want to say, God, aren't you being a little fast and loose with my stuff? You know, I mean, I had to shop for it. I had to buy it. I had to get it checked out through the thing. But it goes on. Then the Lord your God will bless you in all you do. And then it goes on to say, when you beat the olives from your olive trees, don't go over the boughs twice. Well, why not? Leave the remaining olives for the foreigners, the orphans, and widows. Dude. Just seems to be a big thing about giving big, you know? Almost to the point of, wait a second, I mean, I could lose a little bit of my profit when I do that. I once tallied up all the stuff that Israel was to give to God from their offerings and their this feast offering and this tithe offering and this temple offering and all this kind of, I tally it all up out of their income. You want to know what it is? How much we're supposed to give? Or they were supposed to give, not us. They were supposed to give 10%, 20%, 34%. How about that? 34% of your income, God wanted them to give back. And you think, you know, that's a whole lot there. But it doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal to God. When it comes to stuff, it's like God wants us to be, I guess, not in the storage business, but in the moving business. You know, it comes in, it goes out. And God wants me to give big because there's this weird connection between my stuff and trust in God. And when you've read through the Bible and when you read through the Bible, you get the whole sense of there's a big connection between my stuff and trusting God. There's another thing it says, and again, we're not just talking about, you know, I'm talking about giving not just here, okay? I'm talking about being generous with your whole life, everything in every way. But the whole trusting God thing comes into play. Every 7 years, if you were back in ancient Israel, every 7 years, you know, 6 years you'd plant and harvest. The seventh year, you wouldn't. And God said, I want this to be a rest year for you, for your land, but mainly for you. And you would say, wait a second. Every 7 years I don't plant anything, who's gonna take care of me? And God said, don't worry. On the sixth year, if you practice this, on the sixth year I'll give you so much that seventh year you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about it. I'll take care of you on that. You see, there tends to be always in the Bible this really tight connection between giving and trust, giving and trust, giving and trust. You know, God wants us to trust him enough to be able to say, I have a big God. Therefore, I can trust big. I give big. I can give really big. Guys, you want to say, we have a God we can trust. Believe me, you have a God that you can trust. So it goes on to say in the Bible, you'll be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. You give, people get blessed. You give, people get blessed. You'll be enriched so you can give more. And you won't say, okay, got it. Yeah, sure. But I mean, I took math in third grade. You know, this is not an addition issue. This is a what? This is a subtraction issue, you know. The more I give, what? The less I have. I mean, I got this. It's not hard math. And I know that giving is not addition, it's subtraction. When I give, I have less, right? That's not the way that God says it. So I say, find joy as you watch God resupply. Because there's again and again always this concept of, God said, don't worry, I'll resupply. Big, huge, massive verse, and we're going to come back to it again in a second. Jesus said this, give and it'll be, and you'll receive. Your gift will return to you in full. Pressed down, shaken together, you know, to make room for more. Running over, poured into your lap. And then Jesus said this, promise, the amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Now, I love that verse. I hate that verse, but I love that verse, you know. Because the amount I get back is determined by me, you know. I get to make that call, you know. It doesn't seem real and it doesn't seem right, but there it is. I mean, one time I was paying bills and grumbling, you know, and Lisa said, what's wrong? And I said, I remember, this was, you know, way back when, I said, things were really tight this month. And Lisa said, maybe we should give more to church. I'm looking at the dwindling numbers in the checkbook, and I said to her, nothing, because there's nothing I can say, you know? There's nothing I can say to her on that one. Rick Warren, pastor of Big Church Saddleback in Southern California, said, whatever you need more of, give it away. Whenever you need more of, just give it away. And again, the Bible says, whoever sows sparingly also reaps sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And I'm talking about not just simply money. You know, this is holiday time. I'm talking about time and volunteering and your energy. You know, I think some of the things I worry about sometimes more than money is my time and my energy level, you know, which is in short supply now as I get older, you know. Do I have that to give away? God just simply says, what do you want more of? Give it away. Give it away. A weird verse in the Old Testament, Moses and the Israelites, they were wandering through the wilderness. And, you know, wait a second, you just think, 40 years. And we don't think about the practical implications of that. 40 years of wandering through the wilderness, and we're dealing with there's no Amazon, you know? There's no, like Marshalls or Macy's or anything like that. 40 years they're wandering through. And immediately you begin to think through the practical of that. And it says, yet the Lord says, during the 40 years that I led you through the wilderness, your clothes did not wear out, nor did the sandals on your feet. Which is really, really cool and awesome if you're a guy, you know? Just think, two things. You never have to shop, and you can wear the same thing day after day. Isn't that like, that's awesome. That's just awesome. I don't have to worry about any of that stuff. But here's where faith is completely revealed. God says, I know how to take care of you on this one. And that's why I'm going to have you consider giving more than you're comfortable with. Than you're comfortable with. And I'm talking about in faith, and then giving more than you're comfortable with in love and trusting him. And again, this is true. Give freely and spontaneously. Don't have a stingy heart. The way you handle matters like this triggers God's blessing in everything you do. And then this verse again from Jesus, give and you'll receive, your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, you know what I mean, shaken together, you know, you shake a bucket of sand, shaken together, you know, to make room for more. It's going to run over then in your lap. The amount you give determines the amount you give back. Okay, now I know we always ask, does it work? Does this really, really work? And so I asked a couple guys in church, I said, okay, you know, you started this whole giving thing. Talk to us about that. And so we recorded them on video. They're going to be sharing a little bit. Let's see if we can get it.
Hi, my name is Peter Lyon. My wife and I live in La Honda, and we've been coming to Mariners Church for 12 years and 5 months.
Yeah, my name is Kenji. I live in El Granada with my 4 kids, and I've been going to Mariners for 11 years.
When we first heard tithing, this whole concept of tithing and giving when we first came to Mariners Church, I kind of choked a little bit at that point.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, right? Because nobody has in their budget 10% that you can just allocate out of nothing to contribute to, you know, to tie it to the church.
And in spite of what our financial circumstances were, we just decided to commit ourselves with tithing, and things really changed after that.
And I wanted to make a kind of a declaratory action in my own life that I'm going to give not to myself first. My clothes and things and cars and house and all that are not mine anyway, they're God's. And so if I'm going to make a decision to God, I'm going to give to him first out of my first fruits. And when I do that, then he draws nearer to me.
Giving money that we felt like we just couldn't afford to give just made it very real that we wanted God in our life and we wanted Jesus as our Savior.
I believe that a budget is a very personal thing, but I also believe that a budget is a very spiritual thing, and how people spend their money says a lot about what their priorities are. And if God really is a priority in our lives, then I think it's clear what we have to do. So James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he's gonna draw near to you. And I really believe that that's the case with giving as well. So when I first started giving, I did it in part because I wanted to draw closer to God.
Tithing and giving, it's part of what we're called to do, to put God first, and our first fruits, the first 10%, to be given up to God.
And dig into the Word, right? It's a challenging, it's a very hard topic, and it's very personal, and it can be very emotional. So first, dig into the Word.
And there's just a freeing of your spirit that you'll find when you do give, and you find yourself called to give.
Yeah, so what I've realized is that when I first started giving is that my budget has a lot more flexibility than I realized, right? So it's all about priorities.
Whether it's money or it's our time and our effort, using our skills and talents to further his word.
Step out in faith. I know from personal experience, and this is not always the case with everyone else, but when I give, whether it's my time or my money, God multiplies it tenfold or more. I get way more than I give, both in terms of my time and money. I receive way more. And so I encourage other people to experience that as well. And if you give, and you know, I pray that God would also multiply the giving of anybody.
Most of all is bring more people to know the word of Jesus and to know God's love for us.
Power of God for those who believe.
How do I know that I've got this? You know, I've got this. I think I've got this when I give more than I think I should. I think I give more than I should. There, I said it. And there's something that kind of prompts me, I don't know. I guess I want God to prompt me to push me a little bit further, you know, a little bit further than I thought. In the video, Peter talked about tithing, and that means 10%. And I don't know if that's the right amount for you. Okay, we as a church do not say you need to give 10%. Kenji mentioned again and again, it's a very private thing between you and God, and it completely is. We have no clue. I never see who gives what, ever. I don't. I have no idea on this one. Ask God for that. Ask God for it. He's a personal God, and he personally knows you. Ask God for the amount in trust. I would never put a number on it, but I would be a bad pastor if I didn't let you know that God says there is no downside to giving too much. Here we go again. Each one should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not out of regret or compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Cheerful giver. Second is, I know I've got this when giving becomes a lifestyle to me. And I'm not just talking about, again, giving in church, you know, maybe you have what you have so that you can pay someone to do something for you that you can do yourself. You know, you could say, well, I could fix this myself, but maybe there's somebody out there that would be blessed if you paid them to do it. Lisa and I are just understanding that because I basically want to do everything myself. But you can actually bless somebody by saying, would you mow my lawn? It's not that you're too lazy. It's just you want to give away. Or even do some outrageous act of giving or donation. Also, I know I've got this when giving is a joy to me. It's a joy. It should be a joy. All of this. Ask Lisa, I can be a Grinch and I can be a Scrooge and all that. And that's because I live too much in Paul world. You know, Paul world is I got to save as much as possible in case there is something that happens bad in the future. That's Paul world, because in Paul world, I'm not always convinced that God's going to take care of me in my future. Okay, that's my world. And I struggle with that. And then I remember who gave it to me in the first place. And then I remember why I have it. And I remember the one who promised to take care of me. And so we give and watch the God of the supply and of the resupply work. The God who loves me take over. Because now he can work, because I'm not hyper about taking care of myself. Now, here's where I'm asked the worship team to set up. And here I'm going to talk a little bit about the church at the end of the year. And so if you're visiting, if you're a guest, you can kind of tune out for the next few minutes. Since COVID, people give, what do you think, more or less? Less. And that's true for every church around. People give less by a lot. The uncertainty of the situation, of what happened, really did an emotional damage to us. It's just there. And our church family, by God's grace, has reserves, but those are going down, okay? Reserves go down. And again, God's grace gave us reserves, and that's great. And so at the welcome desk we have, if you want to pick it up, a little state of the church financial thing, we'll send it out by email this coming week as well. And you're part of the church family, and I believe the church family should know how the family's doing. Mm-hmm. Family should know how the family's doing, and so if you want to take it, it's the welcome desk there. And during this time, if you want to give, great, but I don't want you to do it with guilt. Again, God loves cheerful giver. You work it out between you and God, and if you give nothing more, that's absolutely fine. It's between you and God. Go for it. Do it. We also have financial peace, which is a great class taught, and it helps you understand God's whole purpose of money. And we do that every few months. And if you're interested in that, write on the blue card, Financial Peace, and we'll sign you up for the next one. But this is really about a God who never fails and will always be there for us as a church and for you as a person. Super cool verse. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. That's Jesus. Indescribable gift. And God gave a son to not just model giving, but his death on the cross does something in you and in your life. It takes my sin and places them on Jesus. And Jesus was punished, so I'm no longer guilty, if I believe that. That's the giving God, the story of a giving God. Love him enough to trust him. Would you please love him enough to trust him? And when you come into this church, understand when you see children laughing and enjoying it, when you see other adults singing and worshiping, your giving did this. You're part of this as well. Let's pray together, can we? God, thankful for you doing so much for us richly in Christ. And when we give, we want to give joyfully. And I pray, God, that this week, Thanksgiving, we would remember how generous you are to us. And that you would provide opportunity, more and more and more opportunity for us, Lord, to just see people that are in need. Or just find opportunities for spontaneous giving, just to give, and then we find the joy for it. God, I thank you so much for these people. I thank you for what you're doing in their lives and in their hearts. Thank you for your love for every single one of us, and help us to know it, feel it. And we praise you for all this in Jesus' name.